When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is your favorite thing in the world?
Comics.
Yes.
Comics!
No, wait, tell me about comics.
Welcome to episode number 126 of Just Another Fanboy. My name is Steven, and I'm here to guide you on a journey. A journey through audio wonderness. And joining me on this journey are Michael and Craig. Michael, say hi.
Hey, gang.
Craig, how you doing?
I feel like a truffle being sniffed up by a big, fat, ugly, greasy warthog.
Mmm, baby. Are you enjoying being on this journey? This is a journey.
Shut up.
I can barely contain my excitement.
If you watch, and I know Craig doesn't watch reality TV, but if you watch reality TV, at least minimum four different people on that reality show will at one point talk about the journey that they're having in that reality show.
Really?
I'm just happy to be on this journey.
Well, it's usually, like right before or right after they've been kicked off of said said show.
That doesn't sound like a reality show to me. That sounds like your average generic Brian Michael Bendis book.
I'm just happy to be on this journey with Steve Perry. And I should have been gone. Thank you, Steve Perry. He's my hero.
Okay, Samuel Elder, please stop.
Hey, Sam does that because of me. Does he still do that? Funny. Does he still just sit at his desk and go, and it should have been Gahoon?
No, now he plays hip hop trivia.
Wonder how the hand you feel. Thank you, Steve Perry.
Never gonna lift you up, never gonna drag you down, never gonna run around on desert hill. I trust that I've killed the journey demon. Needs to go away forever.
I can't think of any Journey songs, so for now, yes, you have.
Thank you. So do you guys have anything interesting or new or different that happened to you this week?
That's a good question. I'm going to say no.
Michael?
I managed to be the only person out of a group of several thousand people who got a sunburn at Worlds of Fun over the weekend.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say you were the only person out of a group of several thousand people who managed to contract swine flu from the pork ribs.
That was also a possibility, but no. No, they had beef ribs and all beef hot dogs. So
yummy, yummy, yummy.
There was no work involved.
I was a recording finally came out of an interview I did for another podcast.
Yes,
which had some questionable content, and the conversation went off in several new and interesting different directions.
What was this podcast, Craig?
This podcast that I am referring to presently, as I attempt to fill time because the name presently escapes me currently.
Casey Fancon.
Thank you. Radio Free Fancon from CaseyFancon.com. I am on episode number 6. Oh, God, I want to say something right now, but he'll take it the wrong way. So I won't. I'm going to be quiet.
Whoa, Craig's going to be quiet.
All right, let's just say that one of our lovely listeners just sent me a PM, which just bombed my browser, so I had to reopen it.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, he'll know who he is. Okay, yes, episode 6, FreeCon, Melon, and Quality Comics. In previous episodes, you've heard me talk about Quality Comics in regards to my picks of the week. I'm sure you've missed my voice talking about Quality Comics as it has recently changed over to Steven's voice talking about Quality Comics. But now you get to hear from Sam herself. In this episode of the FreeCon, Radio Free Fan Con podcast, they talk about the upcoming 2009 Free State FreeCon to be held in Lawrence, Kansas on Saturday, May 16th, 2009. There's also an interview with comic book artist and writer Kevin Mellon of Gearhead fame, and about a 15-minute interview with Samantha Ratzlaff of Quality Comics, her friend Kat, and the troll living in the dungeon, the Craig Machine. The interview starts at about 30 minutes and 35 seconds, where it begins. I will sound a little imbibed. That's because I was a lot imbibed, as was Sam, as was Kat. Poor Mr. Craig Klotz, who was our interviewer on this situation, was not imbibed, we think. So it was kind of interesting. The word hater was thrown out a lot. I had actually forgotten most of what happened during the interview. So when Steven reminded me about it, he said that I had been called a hater like 3 times. Well, actually, I had given the hater alert 3 times, then got called a hater once, and then turned it around and called the other guy a hater. So technically, I was only called a hater once.
It was a very hate-filled episode.
It was not. It was an episode all about love.
I laughed. And I cried. It became a part of me.
And hexual innuendos. Or, I'm sorry, hexual in the windows.
Windows.
Yes. In the windows.
Hey. We're on Twitter.
Hey there. We are on Twitter.
We're on Twitter. You can find that.
We tweet
at twitter.com/JAFanboy.
Some of us tweet the twit more than others.
There's some tweeting going on.
There's some tweeting going on right here.
Tweeting with the twit, tweeting with the twit.
Yeah. Dude, just avoid the other vowels and we'll be fine.
Tweeting.
Yeah, exactly. If you would have gone with any of the others, it would have sounded wrong.
I'm a little slow.
You are not a smart man.
I'm a little slow, but it came to me in the end. And I was disgusted. All right. This will be an interesting episode, because I have yet to complete my reading of our group review this week, and it was my pick.
Man, if only somebody had brought it to work for you to read. Oh, wait, I did.
No, I got it right here. I'll read it. I will get it done. It will be read.
This episode of Just Another Fanboy is brought to you by Win More Games. Win More Games is a family-friendly store providing the best in comic books, card games, board games, and action figures. They also offer a space for playing your favorite games and host tournaments several nights a week. Win More Games, 12108 West 87th Street Parkway in Lenexa, Kansas, or online at www.winmoregames.com.
I just realized that every time I sign a Twitter, like I'm doing right now, in fact, and I sign it TCM, it makes me think of Turner Classic Movies. Does that mean I watch TV too much?
Makes me
no,
think
it just
of,
means you're poorly colored.
Makes me think of Taking Care of Business, but with an M, so it's Taking Care of Monkeys.
Don't let Ted Turner near my movies with his goddamn crayons.
Taking Care of Business, baby. That's what else.
There's a Katharine Hepburn, Spencer Tracy kind of retrospective going on in downtown Lawrence at the Film Fest this coming May. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Hey, for the grand prize, you know who said that quote that I just said? Somebody said it on their deathbed.
Sam Kinison.
No. No!
Dang. Was I close?
The way you said it, it sounded like you were trying to be Katharine Hepburn.
Wow, dude. That feels like a reach. But okay. Don't let Ted Turner and his goddamn crayons near my movies.
Bob Hope.
God. Okay, first off, it's the director. Secondly, my attempts to inject a little bit of culture into this podcast are failing miserably. Orson Welles.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say next.
Yeah, he wanted colorized Citizen Kane.
Didn't
sound anything like Orson Welles. Sounded like Katharine Hepburn.
I know, I'm sorry. I forgot that you were the registered user of Orson Welles at MySpace.com or MySpace.com/OrsonWellesLover.
It's actually that website is owned by the Golden Corral.
A lot of people don't know this about Michael, but he is the Rich Little of podcasting.
That I did surely not. That's a Rich Littleism right there. You weren't expecting that.
I can recognize voices. I can't pull them off very well.
All right. So this episode's going nowhere real fast. Let's remind everybody about the Lawrence Free Con on Saturday, May 16th in Lawrence, Kansas at the Douglas County Fairgrounds.
Get your freak on.
That is a convention that we will be attending as guests. We will have our own table. There will be a couple of things that we'll be giving away.
Hey, and what would we really, really, really like to do there?
We would really like to record an episode from the convention floor.
Boy, we sure would.
Right now, doesn't look like that's going to really be happening. But there's a way.
But you can change that.
That's right. You, the listeners, have our destiny in your hands, or actually in your wallets. If you donate to the Just Another Fanboy podcast, which some of you have done, and we love you immensely, call us. We can purchase the equipment that we need to record from the show floor.
We promise to be frugal.
Yes, I think the three of us know how to live cheap. So we know how to buy cheap. We know how to stretch a buck.
We will take photos of everything we buy. If you want, we'll take photos of the receipts of everything we buy. Or, you know, screenshots of eBay or whatever.
We will autograph the receipts and give those out as prizes at the show.
If you would like to attach stipulations to your donations, nothing illegal, please, then feel free to. And we will do our damnedest to live up to your insane expectations, especially Michael.
Would you like to know?
Where'd you go, Michael?
I'm not doing it again, Craig.
No, not that. You don't have to put on the Little Miss Teapot dress.
Oh, that's all right, then.
I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle, here is my... Wait. I have two handles. I'm a sugar bowl. Okay, this went bizarrely off topic.
Craig is scaring me. Would you guys like to know how somebody could donate to the show if they really, really wanted to?
I would like to know how someone could donate to the show even if they were begrudgingly donating to it. Just to hear us never talk about it again, which is another benefit of donating to the show.
That's right. You want to shut us up, give us some money.
Because we're not proud. We'll keep begging.
Ain't too proud to beg. But you can do
that.
You can do that by going over to the Just Another Fanboy blog. That's at justanotherfanboy.blogspot.com. And over in that blog, over off to the right, there is a sidebar menu. You'll find the donate button there. It's just that easy. Easy peasy lemon easy.
But seriously, whatever you want us to do to earn that money, so long as it's within reason and can be done reasonably into a microphone while on a podcast and is not illegal and would not result in any of our arrests, aside from Michael, because he's hardened. I'd be down.
That's right. You want me to dress up like a monkey? Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. But we'll talk.
If you would like me to sing as I post on the forums, I'll do it.
What if I wanted to have you post in iambic pentameter for like a week?
I don't even know what that means.
I will look it up.
Like all Shakespearean, like.
I just want you to post the words. I just want you to post the words iambic pentameter.
I think these could be arranged.
All right.
Pretend for a second that Steven is not your however the hell tall he is, redheaded proof rock looking like podcast host. Pretend that he is thin and tiny and a woman like Lilu from the Fifth Element. Steven, say please help. Make it sexy.
Please help.
Sexier.
Multipass.
Please help. That was more creepy than anything.
Big bada boom.
Big baba boom. Big baba boom. Okay.
Hey, fun fact, she made up that language herself because she's a freaking genius.
That's right.
Okay, that was counterproductive. For $10, Michael will talk like that for a full episode.
I'm like really confused right now.
We need money.
All right, that's enough of the bacon.
Okay.
Let's talk about the bacon.
Ooh, give me what's in the bag. I can't read. I'm a dog. No, wait, that's from an ad.
What's in
Are
the
you
bag?
Talking about swine flu?
No.
No, it's bacon strips.
Bacon.
You're eating dog food. You owe us money.
Okay, so how about we do some news?
Okay.
Not just any old news. News and information that you could have easily gotten for yourself with just a little effort. And I got nothing. Michael?
I'm a little late on the news myself.
So I guess that just leaves Craig.
Just leaves Craig, huh?
I don't think he's got anything. He never has any news.
I probably don't, in fact.
I bet you could scrape something out.
You know what we should do? For 15 minutes, we should just talk about how incredibly awesome... Oh, crap. Wolverine Origins is going to be, and how it's going to blow away everyone's expectations of... Anyways, Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Have you ever played this game, guys?
No.
No, sir.
You've never played Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Michael? Wow, that's a shock.
Was it in arcades, right?
Yeah.
Back when it would have been really creepy for me to be hanging out in arcades?
Well, it was also on the Dreamcast and PlayStation and the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox.
Oh yeah. No, I think I played it on the Dreamcast when I worked at KB, but that was a long time ago.
Anyway, it is the most freaking incredible two-dimensional fighter of all time. If you have a copy on any of these systems except for PlayStation 1, it is worth a freaking mint. And if you don't have it, then you most likely want it, especially if you love fighting games. Like the really old Saturn X-Men or the old 2D, true 2D Street Fighters. Well, the good news is this summer, Capcom is releasing Marvel vs. Capcom 2 as a digital download on Xbox Live and the PlayStation Network. And the reason why is because Capcom apparently has decided that Nintendo has an excellent idea, and if you have a machine that can literally print money for you, you probably should plug that machine in and turn it on. I'm just saying.
I want one of those machines.
I do too.
We wouldn't have to ask for donations if we had a machine like that.
We wouldn't have to beg like pathetic little... Anyways, so, apparently, the biggest pop culture event of the year, according to Stephen, would be what?
The Lawrence Freecon.
Ooh. Nice answer. Svet and Sassy.
Thank
you. And Michael, what do you think?
Biggest pop culture event of the year?
Yes.
G.I. Joe.
I'm talking like a convention?
The San Diego Comic-Con.
Pop culture event of the year.
Well, you would not be good on like some kind of pop, you know, quiz game show thing.
Well, I was trying
for
to
the record, Michael is no longer my phone-a-friend for any any trivia or question-based talk show. He'll just about get to the point where he's ready to confirm that, yes, he indeed is Michael Sander before my 60 seconds are up.
I plan things that way, sir.
He's like Batman.
Okay, Michael says San Diego Comic-Con.
No, I did.
Yes, San Diego Comic-Con. No, it was me.
Oh. Yeah, you said it for him, and then he remembered that you were his master. Okay, well, the other convention is finally back after being left out in the cold, raped, and freezing last year in a shadow of its former self. E3 is back. The biggest single video game event of the entire year is back. It's in Los Angeles. It's 3 days in June. Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo are pulling out their big guns for this one. And it is going to be huge. If you remember, the last true E3 was about 3 years ago. So we should expect all the glitz and all the cheesy glamour of the years past. But perhaps, maybe there will be booth babes again? Oh, and by the way, unlike San Diego Comic-Con, you're not getting into E3, sadly. But good news. G4 will have extensive coverage of the event, as will Spike, so long as the security guards don't see Spike's cameras in the building. Because apparently G4 has an exclusive license to be the only network to be able to cover the show. But Spike has a lot of video game coverage as well, so I imagine they'll get, you know, one or two dozen cameras in, probably.
This week's episode is brought to you by Quality Comics, the original Sam's Comics, as featured in the hit show Heroes. With service with a smile provided by Samantha and service with a grunt provided by Leroy, they are prepared to service all of your friendly neighborhood LCS needs. It's 1111 Massachusetts Street, Lawrence, Kansas, 66046, or call them at 75-843-7239. Featuring an ever-expanding selection of high-quality back issues for the discerning consumer. Home of the $40 short box and $75 long box sale. See store for complete details.
Okay, this is a piece of news that's only going to be of interest to Xbox Live members. Anyone who has Xbox Live Gold and you've been playing around with your Xbox and you've got your avatar and you've got it to look enough like you that you can kind of see where they're going with it, but not enough to look like you, like it's creepy and you have nightmares that it's going to come to life and stab you in the middle of the night. Well, Microsoft is finally unleashing the game that allows you to play as your avatar. Yes, after being delayed for about 6 months, 1 vs. 100 will be free to all Xbox Live Gold subscribers. Now, this is worth noting because we have had to wait longer for the video game version of 1 vs. 100 than the original show was actually ever on the air. And that's because Bob Saget is just not funny when he's cleaning it up for family consumption. But 1 vs. 100 is going to come to Xbox Live. It will literally be you versus 99 other Xbox Live gamers, and Microsoft is in fact offering what they call fabulous prizes. As to whether or not this will mean anything other than Microsoft points to spend on additional downloadable content, we'll have to wait and see. But for a lot of Xbox Live gamers, free points to download new games might be plenty. So this is pretty good news if you're a heavy Xbox Live gamer. This one's going to be very exciting to Steven.
Okay. Can I interrupt just a minute real quick to give a yes? quick shout-out to Noogie99? Love you, man. Okay, continue.
Okay, that was weird.
I'm done.
That killed my flow.
Sorry.
Okay. So, what would be the best team to ever team up to fight Nazis in the form of a video game?
Indiana Jones.
And Batman.
And Captain Batman. America.
Oh, Indiana Jones and Captain America. Well, guess what? Your dreams have been answered. Steven, Mr. T, and Michael, Will Wright, are going to team up to fight Nazis in a video game.
Will Wright's the guy who created Spore, right?
Yes.
I pity the Nazi.
And Sims.
Right.
Wow. And this game will be out on PC, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and the Wii. And there is nothing about it other than a screenshot of Mr. T in a poorly airbrushed, muscle-bound costume that looks frighteningly like the cover to Mr. T in the T-Force number 1. If you remember that, I'm sorry. If you don't, look it up, because it's hilarious. Steven, would you play a video game if it had Mr. T in it?
Yeah.
See? And Steven hates video games because he's like 80.
83.
Sorry. So, Heroes apparently will be coming back for Season 5. If you haven't seen the final episode, which aired last night, Steven, do you think it's too early to talk about the final episode?
I haven't watched one episode all season, so go for it.
Okay, so you don't care?
Nah, by the time it comes around on DVD, I will have forgotten.
Okay. Spoiler alert. We'll try and keep this to 2 minutes. So, Nathan dies. Again. And the company is refounded. And Heroes lost his powers. Stop me if you've heard this one. But apparently, in a fit of
Stop.
I'm too good for...
I've heard this one. Go.
Okay. In a fit of I'm too good for this show, Zachary Quinto has gotten himself off of Heroes. What? But you said Nathan died, not Siler. Exactly. Siler kills Nathan, but Matt Pakman is able to convince a seriously doped up Siler that he is in fact Nathan, effectively inhibiting his shape-changing powers and bringing the character of Nathan back to life as kind of a Nathan with an attitude. I saw that already in Season 1. With a little bit of Siler running underneath the current. That way, if Zachary Quinto's Spock dreams don't pan out the way he wants, he can come back to the show. God knows what's going to happen to poor Adrian, though. But, you know, who really cares? The main news about Hero is it's going to be slimmed down for next season. They're going to cut the number of production episodes down to 18 to 20, down from its original 25. Now, why this may seem like bad news to anybody who remembers the nightmare that was Season 2, yes, I agree, it was very good until they realized that they were out of time and had to resolve the storylines without rhyme or reason. But then again, Volumes 3 and 4 were big, overblown, overly complicated, and the reason why most people do not like Jeff Loeb anymore. I'm going to get mail on that one. But, long story short, Heroes Season 4 is going to be shorter, Volume 5, because numbering is for crazy people. Mickey Rourke is going to be a voiceover in a video game. I guess that is what an appearance at WrestleMania and an Oscar nomination gets you these days. The Texas governor, Rick Perry, the same Rick Perry who recently told the federal government that Texas, yes, could indeed secede from the Union. It was in their constitution, and what are you going to do about it? Has decided that he wants to offer aid to the gaming industry. Signed Texas House Bill 873 into law, which will aid video game developers as well as film production companies by offering them access to a larger number of state grants. And the Texas state budget is actually in better shape than the budgets of most of the states in the rest of the country. This is excellent news for video games, this is excellent news for the arts, and this is excellent news for the budgeting film industry in Texas. All that I can say, honestly, on this is... good news. I know of a lot of great developers who are down in Texas, and keep an eye on this Rick Perry guy, because he's probably going to be important in, say, 3 years. Let's see. Okay, next movie is another piece of movie news. There is going to be a Milli Vanilli biopic.
Finally.
Directed by Brett X3 and Rush Hour Trilogy Ratner.
This will be his opus.
Blame It on the Rain left me with a lot of questions. Girl, you know it's true.
Girl.
Ratner, he loves you.
Girl.
I don't trust him when Michael is too quiet after I mention Milli Vanilli.
I think he's trying to find
my CD.
I was going to say, Michael's looking for the CDs. He's going to braid his hair.
It's right behind the Best of Bread, dude.
I got to load it into my iPod so I can listen to it. We're playing, what are they listening to downstairs today?
I have
some
craziness.
Anyway.
I have one thing to say to Milli Vanilli.
Okay.
And now I can't remember what it was.
Half of them are dead, so you're only saying it to Vanilli. Oh, dude, that's not cool. But it's funny.
That's not cool, man.
But it was funny. Okay. So a couple idiots who have cell phones through, I believe it's T-Mobile, decided that they're going to try for the texting record. And guess what? They got a massive phone bill because they sent about 217,000 text messages. They got their phone bill in a box that cost $27.55 to send to them and was itemized for their messages. Apparently, unlimited text messages with T-Mobile means we really think you should stop around 5,000 or so. But they have challenged, and T-Mobile, fearing, you know, massive backlash, what with they're trying to redefine the term unlimited for absolutely everybody in America, has decided to drop the charges. But seriously, if I had time to send 217,000 text messages, or even half of them, in a month, with one other person who had the time to send them back, imagine what I could do with a real problem.
They should have just gotten Twitter.
Like Just Another Fanboy has Twitter. Ha ha!
Tweedledee-ledee.
Tweety.
Tweedledee-ledee.
That musical interlude was brought to you by Win More Games. Okay. So this is a kind of a repeat, kind of an update on a previous story. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is set for a live-action reboot. Yeah, we talked about this a couple months ago, but apparently this time they're really serious, and it's really going to happen. And it's really going to be based on the first 11 issues of the original Black and White Mirage comic book. So it's going to be interesting, and they're bringing back a lot of the producers and writers from the 2007 animated film, which if you actually saw it, was quite good in terms of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle lore. At the very least, it was better than 2 and 3. Good news for Steven. Apparently, it's confirmed that Benicio Del Toro, Sean Penn, and Jim Carrey are going to be the Three Stooges.
Hmm.
Keep in mind, this is not going to be a biopic. This is simply going to be a new Three Stooges movie with three new Stooges. That's all the excitement you can give for that?
That's all I got.
Are you sure you don't mean Michael Penn?
I'm sure I mean Sean Penn.
I dug deep down, and that's what I came up with.
Wow. Okay, apparently there's a new favorite frontrunner for the Thor movie. Let's see if I can find his name. Charlie Hunnam. Apparently, if you saw the show Sons of Anarchy on FX, the main character, that's the guy. I'd always heard previously that it was going to be Alexander Skarsgård, but apparently he has not been approached by Marvel, and Charlie Hunnam has. I can see him as Donald Blake. I can't really see him as Thor. Seems like he's too short. And, you know, a little bit too narrow. But, you know, we'll find out, see if it's true.
I can see that the Thor would require some sort of transformation. Whether they'll do like the Hulk and have somebody else play him in his...
Like Lou Ferrigno?
Well, probably not Lou Ferrigno. But...
Oh, God, that would be awesome, though.
Thor, you're 90.
Oh, dude, what are you doing? Oh, God, that's not cool. I'm going to hell.
Lou Ferrigno actually looks pretty darn good for his age.
He looks more ripped now than he did back then.
He could beat the crap out of me, yes, but I don't think he has the look of a Norse god about him. I think maybe one of the frost giants or something. But
hey, I love you, Lou. Text me. Seriously.
He'd break his phone, you know.
Well, he can Twitter on his giant Hulk-sized keyboard. So, Sam Raimi has declared Spider-Man 4 is not looking towards the Dark Knight. That's a huge surprise. I mean, I would have totally expected a franchise that was uniquely successful on its very own to not copy a $1 billion making movie. And I'm not being funny. I'm actually rather relieved that Spider-Man 4 is not going to try and take the darker tact. I also hope that they don't take the singing and dancing West Side Story tact that Spider-Man 3 had, along with not casting people like Topher Grace as Eddie Brock and then killing them off. But Spider-Man 4 is on slate for a 2011 release. There's apparently some questions regarding the talent. Tobey Maguire is expected to return. The question is whether or not Kristen Dunst is going to return. No word on the story or the characters or the villains yet, but personally, I would be holding out hope for Hobgoblin. And that's me saying, having not read Spider-Man in several years. So, one second. Let me see what else other news I got here real quick.
And it should have been good. Wonder how it made me feel.
La 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 la. Are you done?
I'm just filling time, baby.
Okay. I'm just saying. Hey, apparently Joe Quesada is out as editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics. Did you guys read this today?
No.
Yeah. Michael, you didn't see this?
It's because you're making it up.
No, dude, I'm totally not. Why would I be making this up? That is not cool.
Because you're trying to find dream fulfillment by creating your own reality, and we keep telling you it doesn't work.
I swear to God.
Don't be making up stories. This is not Fox News.
I'm not making up stories, and you get the hell off of Fox News, CNN lover. Anyways, apparently Joe Quesada is out as editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics. I swear to God.
The reason why
I say this is Wolverine 73 is going to be released before 72, which is a clear indication that Todd McFarlane is now the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics, because he is the only self-publisher who is a big enough idiot to release issues out of order like this, especially when issue 72 is the penultimate chapter of Old Man Logan. So it's
talking about the Batman Spawn thing?
Yes.
I will talk about that when you're done.
It's not a fake news story. I'm simply interpreting that Joe Quesada is fired and Todd McFarlane is now the publisher of Marvel Comics because publishing books out of order is insane.
It didn't cost Didio his job when he did that over at DC.
It's more fun to say Todd McFarlane. And which book did Didio do it with?
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's a major flagship title.
At the time, they were trying to relaunch the book, and they got the big name Hollywood writer on it, and he couldn't even finish the one storyline.
Oh, are you talking about this most recent relaunch?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but they ended that in an annual. They didn't put issues out of order.
They ended it in an annual 6 months later.
Yeah, but they did the same thing with Superman, but it still printed in order. It didn't print out of order, which is what is happening here and what happened with Spawn.
No, what happened with Spawn was he was going to count those crossover books as those two issues, and when those two crossover books didn't sell very well at all, he decided to go back and redo those two issues as though they had been planned all along. Those weren't printed out of order. They were a retcon, essentially, of what happened in the crossover books.
Joe Quesada out, Todd McFarlane in. That's how I see it. Anyways, Robert Rodriguez has apparently been tapped to relaunch the Predator franchise.
Really?
Because I don't know that it needs relaunching. I just think it needs Predator 3 or Predator with some random subtitle.
We're going to get Predators.
Yes, I know.
As if none of that other stuff ever happened, apparently.
But Predator 1 was good, and Predator 2 was funny, and Predators vs. Aliens does not exist. Because I say it doesn't.
Which one? Either of them?
Either of them. I haven't seen the second one, but I've heard it's worse.
I haven't seen anything since the second Predator movie.
Yeah, but apparently Robert Rodriguez, who did such a phenomenal job on Spy Kids... I would have mentioned the Grindhouse films, but I didn't like the Grindhouse films.
Spy Kids were awesome.
I really liked El Mariachi.
I did not see El Mariachi. I only saw Desperado, and after you see Desperado, your urge to go back and see El Mariachi
is
even
only greater.
No.
And then when you're done with that, you go see Six String Samurai, forgetting the fact that Rob Liefeld did a comic book adaptation, and just revel in the fact that it's Buddy Holly is a samurai with a guitar, and there you go.
I can't forget. I can't forget because forgetting would mean letting go, and I can't let go of my pain. Oh, this just in, and some preview artwork for, oh crap, Green Lantern Blackest Night number 1. Apparently, the Black Hand likes getting a little freaky with some skulls. He likes to lick them.
You.
And that's all I got for news.
News for you. Yeah. Did you like that? All right, so let's do our comic book picks of the week. Okay, so my pick this week was actually fairly simple, because other than 50 or so odd ElfQuest books, the only other book I read all week long was Invincible number 61 from Image Comics. It was written by Robert Kirkman. It was penciled by Ryan Ottley, inked by Cliff Rathburn. The colorist is F.C.O. Placencia, and the letterer is Russ Wooten. So this is the aftermath of the Invincible War, where a very angry supervillain has brought different doppelgangers of Invincible from different dimensions into the actual Invincible universe and killed millions of people. And all the superheroes, such as Savage Dragon. Well, we talked about this. Craig read it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the aftermath. This is them cleaning up. And Invincible, he's feeling pretty bad, because he knows that this is all his fault. And there's a nice little scene where some other bad guy from a previous issue who wants to kill Invincible because, during the fight that he had with his dad, this guy's sister was killed. And so he gets these superpowers from stealing some stuff from where he worked that makes him take in kinetic energy and can shoot it out like lightning bolts. Anyway, he pops up and starts beating on Invincible. And Youngblood comes to his aid. Very nice scene with Youngblood. Really enjoyed it. And then there's a lot more of the cleaning up and Invincible's girlfriend in the hospital. And then at the end, you get... We've been waiting now for 61 issues for... And I never pronounce the aliens correctly. The alien race that his dad came from, the Viltrumites.
Viltrumites, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. they send a guy from the Viltrumite Empire to come and basically say, all right, time's up. I'm here to take over your duties here to conquer this planet. If you try to stop me, yeah, I'm just going to kill you.
And he apparently has the Infinity Gauntlet.
He does have something that looks somewhat like the Infinity Gauntlet. And the issue ends this very awesome page of the two of them getting ready to do battle. And that's how the issue ends. And just from reading some solicitations, I can't remember what month they're soliciting for now. I want to say July, maybe. Issue 63. The fight is still going on. So the next few issues sound to be pretty action-packed.
I know. It's going to be like reading Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was a really awesome, really good issue. this is one of my top three books. And I normally try not to, because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get to a point where every month, one week I'm going to pick Invincible, one week I'm going to pick Walking Dead, one week I'm going to pick Proof. But, yeah, this is really the only book I read this week, so I had to choose it. But I am going to give this sucker 4 out of 5, just for that last page alone.
I want to know why you did not tell us about the adventures of the Wolf Rider.
It was really awesome.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed reading those. But that was my pick, Invincible number 61. If you're not reading it, you should. If you like just good old superhero books that are fun with a little drama thrown in, Invincible's your book.
Invincible number 60 was not intended as a single issue jump on point, but I will be damned if it doesn't feel like it. Because I've read previous issues of Invincible in trades, and I wasn't exactly up to speed starting out with issue 60, but I feel fine. I remember who all these characters are, having read enough of the trades, and I would be crazy to stop getting the book at this point. So, I concur. It was a very good issue.
Yeah, it's awesome. And that last page, was it not just completely awesome?
It was pretty cool, but I was wondering why Invincible was screaming instead of, like, getting into a fighting position. He looked like he was going to bust out his Vince Neil impression on the new guy.
Well, that's what
Drop
I would do.
Scream and shout.
That's what I would do.
Tear that sucker down.
Because I know when I get into fights, I always say, I'm going to get all Vince Neil on you. And that usually just creeps them out and they leave.
Really? I would have thought you would have gotten more like Axl Rose or Love Doctor on me.
No, because Vince Neil actually at one point on MTV challenged Axl Rose to a fight.
I'm going to threaten you to a fight. And if you're any kind of man, you're going to be there. I remember that.
Yeah, that was pretty sad. All right, so that was my pick.
The only thing sad about it was that Axl didn't show.
Well, I don't know. Even as a kid, I watched that and said, that's weak. I said, how old are you, Vince? Really? Seriously?
You're weak.
You're weak.
You're weak.
All right, Michael, what was your pick this week? Weak.
Well, I only actually, other than the book of the week, I only had two books. So one of them being the conclusion to Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader, which I believe Craig is going to be talking about. So my other book was Guardians of the Galaxy number 13, The Starjammer Strike, written by Amnett and Lanning with art by, Brad Walker, inked by Victor Olazaba, and colored by Will Quintana. We start off in a bar brawl, which is actually kind of a strangely helpful scene as we get to see that all of the team is back together in one place, and they're going through what appears to be a debriefing over what has happened during their recent mission. And we're introduced once again to all of the characters, the team having been separated for quite some time into essentially three groups is now back together. And one of them is even back from the dead, so everything's kind of working out. But the reason that they're all back together is because of this war going on between the Shi'ar and the Kree. It seems that several Nega bombs were used by the Shi'ar in their initial strikes, and it's causing the very fabric of the universe to be disrupted, and they've got to go, you know, fix the problem and then convince the leaders of the two factions to stop fighting. And we get a scene between Rocket Raccoon and Star-Lord Peter Quill discussing how they're going to break up the group into two teams. Rocket Raccoon's going to go take on Vulcan and the Shi'ar, taking the heavy hitters. And Pete and the rest of the more, what's the word, diplomatically minded members of the team are going to go talk to the Inhumans, because as Rocket Raccoon says, the Inhumans are reasonable, civilized people. You won't need the big hitters. Black Bolt will listen to you, and, well, it's not like he's going to interrupt me.
Raw.
Yes. A little smooth, straight talking, and your job's as good as done. And so they split up, go their separate ways. Of course, the fight with the Shi'ar doesn't go quite as planned. And we cut back to the discussions with Lord Blackbolt. Peter gives a big speech about how the Kree are noble, and how important it is that the war be stopped, because it's going to do irreparable damage to the entire universe. He finishes up with, "We believe that you have the wisdom and the insight to understand the gravity of this situation. I implore you, please stop this war." And Black Bolt's answer through Medusa is simply, "No." And so that now they have no idea what's going to happen. And at the very end of the book, the strike team, including Drax, Groot, Major Victory, Rocket Raccoon, are all picked up by a Shi'ar vessel that turns out to have been commandeered by the Starjammers, led by Havoc. And we find out that this team's new mission is to go rescue Lilandra and restore her to the throne and topple the Vulcan tyrant. And we are beginning to see, with this issue, more of the various players in this War of the Kings story beginning to come together. We have now the Inhumans and a group of the Starjammers, or not the Starjammers, but a group of the Guardians of the Galaxy together, and we have the other half of the Guardians with the Starjammers, and they're going to go up against Vulcan, and so kind of everything. Everybody's coming to a meeting place, as it were. I really enjoyed this issue. It actually, more so than any of the other stuff that I've picked up so far, other than the initial story arc, has been a decent place for somebody new to the book to jump on. It does a good job of introducing the characters and giving you a bit of an update on the status quo. So, that's my pick. I will give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Cool.
All right. Craig, what was your choice this week?
Well, I hate to disappoint, but you can't really talk about whatever happened to the Caped Crusader Part 2 without talking about part one. So as opposed to talking about the issue by myself for 20 minutes and frequently referencing a previous issue, I was thinking that we could all table those two and talk about them at some point as a in place of a topic from the hat.
Sure.
Sounds like a plan.
So in honor of that, I'll go ahead and review a different Batman book because there were several. I have a wealth of Batman to choose from. And the book I'm going to review was a surprisingly interesting story to me. Battle for the Cowl, Arkham Asylum. Written by David Hine and artwork by Jeremy Hahn, covered by LeDron. Arkham Asylum focuses on Jeremiah Arkham and the ruins of Arkham Asylum as shown in the waning chapters of both Rest in Peace and in the first chapter of Battle for the Cowl. It shows Professor Arkham walking through the halls, visiting the cells where the villains used to be. It's a particularly creepy interaction with Mr. Zsasz, who shows Professor Arkham exactly where he would leave the scar once he decides to kill Arkham. There's a character that I've not seen before, Humphrey Dumpler. Apparently that's one of those older Silver Age characters that just hasn't been used a lot recently. Presumably a Humpty Dumpty fixation. Scarecrow's in here. Poison Ivy's in here. Killer Croc is in here. Clay Thing is in here. Presumably they're all used as mostly cameos, presumably to tie into the role in the upcoming Battle for the Cowl, Gotham Underground. The most interesting and indeed the most disturbing parts of this book is when Arkham travels to the now decimated solitary confinement quarters of Arkham Asylum, where you meet, to my understanding, completely new psychopaths, or at least they're psychopaths that I haven't met before. The first one that you meet is Alessio Morlandi. Alessio has an interesting creation. He was cursed of being the simply average son of a gorgeous supermodel and a perfectionist-seeking father. His mother paid no attention to him and was obsessed with masks to a fault. He, at one point, as a child who rarely talked, took her favorite mask and epoxied it to his face so that she would pay attention to it. Her reaction, of course, was to laugh, not realizing it was epoxied onto his face. His father's reaction, again, not realizing that it had been epoxied onto his face, was to rip the mask off, destroying Alexi's face forever. His facial muscles were unable to convey emotion. He lost his lips, he lost his nose, he lost his eyebrows, and was unable to show any sort of emotion. And due to that, the shock and the scarring was devoid of personality. Arkham's way of him dealing with this was to give him, say, a set of watercolor-based paints, and Alessio would paint on his face how he felt, whether that being a smiling gentleman or a crying clown. The second character was the Mirror Man. His name is Narcissus. Not much is really known about this character. Narcissus is apparently just absolutely in love with his own reflection. And third new character that you meet is the Hamburger Lady. The Hamburger Lady is said to be so horribly disfigured that upon seeing her face, you go horribly and irreversibly insane because her face is that bad. She, in fact, has no light in her room because of the strength of this legend regarding her appearance. Upon replacing the light, Arkham feels the twinge of the family insanity, especially if you've ever read Arkham Asylum, Serious House on Serious Earth by Neil Gaiman, not Neil Gaiman, excuse me, Grant Morrison. Certainly know kind of what you're in for. There was an office that he goes to while still touring the ruined grounds, where he comes across remaining scraps of Amadeus Arkham's journal. And he finds the blueprint for this perfect Arkham. If you've ever seen the movie Brazil, if you've ever seen the movie Metropolis, you have some idea what the architecture is going to look like. It's very bizarre, very Art Deco, very monolithic, truly creepy stuff. And then at this point, we learn the entirety of this story has taken place during Rest in Peace, as he's thrown out of his office by the Black Glove. Upon returning, presumably after the events of Rest in Peace, he goes down to find, he returns to Arkham Asylum to find the drawings for the new Arkham Asylum designed by Amadeus Arkham, who was by then incurably insane, and hears crying and screaming from the solitary confinement ward. He goes downstairs to find those who were solitarily confined. He finds the Hamburger Woman. He finds the Mirror Man. And he finds Alessio. Alessio is painted up like a multicolored clown crying black tears at this point. He wipes his face off and tells him that it's going to be okay and that they were going to be friends and a family. And as he leads them out of Arkham Asylum and the sub-basement, Alessio pauses in front of a mirror. Dr. Arkham tells him to put on a happy face. There's a quote on the last page of the book, which I think is just awesome. All things are possible here, and I am what madness made me. The final shot pans around Alessio, finishing painting up his face. And the final panel in the book is truly creepy. It shows Alessio, he's painted on his happy face. He's blacked out his eyes, he's rubied up his lips, and he's painted in giant, white, jagged teeth. Alessio's decided that his happy face is going to be the Joker. A truly cool issue, perhaps most notably by the fact that I had almost no expectations of it going into it. I had no idea what this issue was going to contain. I like that they're going to start be doing more with Arkham Asylum and with the character of Jeremiah Arkham. So, yeah, great book. Worthy addition to Battle for the Cal. Much better than the Man-Bat and the Commissioner Gordon one-shots, I feel. I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
Ooh. That's one I skipped. I just got tired of the Battle of the Cal stuff, so I've been skipping most of those.
This one was really good. If you have a chance, I'd go grab it.
Might be something to check out, because that sounded kind of neat.
It's really cool. And like I said, I feel bad, because I totally was not expecting it to be cool.
Right on.
So those... I almost reviewed Skull Kill Crew, but I wasn't sure if anybody was interested.
Yeah, skip that one, too.
That was funny.
Okay, so those are our picks of the week. So let's move on to our group, or just another fanboy, group review of the week. Hey, so this week it was my pick, and I chose a book from Image Comics, Viking Number 1, script by Ivan Brandon, art and colors by Nick Klein, letters and design by Kristen Ferretti and Nick Klein, logo and cover design by Tom Mueller. All right, so, yeah, I literally just finished reading this about 10 minutes ago, and I would like to give you a nice synopsis of the story, but anybody who's listened to this show knows that I'm not a smart man, and I honestly couldn't tell you what happened. I mean, if either of you two would like to explain it to me, I would really enjoy that.
A lot of people get gacked.
Some people die. A girl looked like she was going to be attacked by a bear, but then she wasn't. Some guy was fishing for eels with a horse head.
And the little kid, I think, died at the end after being promised everything was going to be okay.
I mean, can either of you guys give me any more explanation than that?
Honest to God, I read it twice, and I was still confused as to who the characters were and what happened. And I don't like working that hard to follow a story.
Yeah.
The art was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Except that so many of the characters looked exactly the same.
Yeah, and the look of the book, while the art style itself didn't change, it was like coloring elements or something changed throughout the book. You know, some panels looked very crisp and clear as far as the coloring, and then some panels had that whole dot thing going on for the coloring, and I found that a little weird. I didn't know if I think that confused me quite a bit, because I wasn't sure if, all right, the coloring style has changed. Does that mean this is happening in the past or the future, or what's going on here? And I think I really, really wanted to like this book. Everything I've read about it up until I actually read the book made it sound like this is something I would really, really enjoy, and I just couldn't really make heads or tails out of it. Now, saying that, I am going to give it another read-through, and I'm probably going to read number two just to see if maybe it starts to make sense. This might be one of those books that you might have to read a couple issues before it really starts to sink in what the book is about and what's going on and who all the people are. But as of now, incomprehensible.
I'm still trying to piece it together. I really feel like this first issue was supposed to be an introduction to... it's supposed to be an introduction to our protagonists. The only problem with that is the first time we meet them, they are killing a bunch of guys using one of them to deliver a message. And it appears that by the end of the book, that message has been received, and the end result of them sending their message was their little brother or whatever on the end of somebody else's sword.
And the blonde dude totally getting his stuff handed to him.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that this was a... it's obvious that this was probably going to read better in a collected volume. But from what my understanding of the storyline, there's supposed to be a murder mystery and supposed to be, you know, kind of an investigation comic, almost a crime comic, except set in Viking times. But from what I can tell, the actual murder has happened off screen and nobody knows that it's a crime yet. It seems like the sword that they kind of focus on a couple times is a clue to something bigger that's going on. But there's really no way of knowing for sure.
I can't help but think that we haven't even met one of our two main characters yet. Because the guy with the mohawk-looking hair on the cover, I sat down once, not even reading it, just looking for that guy, and I couldn't find him.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with Steven on the art. There's just some of it that it looks like the artist had months to work on. Yeah, Nick Klein was just work on it at your own pace. Like, Okay, the shot where the guy is grabbed by the throat and choked. That looks like he just lovingly just sat there and worked every line, smoothed it all out. But you go directly above that with the guy laughing with the wolf pelt on, and it looks like that panel was put together at a standard pace, if not even faster. You turn a few pages to the back, towards the center of the book, where the redhead is having the encounter with the bear. Hell, there's a large panel where the bear and her father look lavishly painted in the background, and she looks line drawn in the foreground.
I don't know if that's a timing issue, whether that's just kind of how they're framing some of their pages. The more artistic stuff, like there's the one panel where her dad's head is at the very top of the page, looking down on what's going on below it. And then, you know, there's...
Yeah, that's just the one with the guy getting choked out.
Right, and then below that you have that other page. And then the stuff in the middle is a little more comic-y. I kind of compare the more comic book-looking stuff to being almost a Michael Avon Oeming kind of look, mm-hmm. where the rest of it is like I don't want to say Fabry, but the guy who used to do all of the 2000 AD covers did a bunch of –
Beisley.
Yeah, Beisley. Very, very much influenced by Simon Beisley. So I think it's an interesting mix. I don't know if it always works the way they intended it to, and there's some spots where it looks like they've got Sankovitz doing stuff. And
well, it's mostly when they have the two styles melding in one panel where it gets the most confusing. Like mm-hmm. there's a shot of the young kid sticking his head underwater. Above the water, it's the line art. Below the waterline, it looks like the colored pencils painted art. And same thing with the girl standing next to the bear. Every other panel is either the fully painted version or the line art. And seeing the bear drawn line art style on the next page in one panel, and then a beautifully detailed paw on the next panel is confusing and disjointing to me.
Yeah, and I'm sure
disoriented.
I'm sure there's a reason. There's reasoning behind it. I mean, I'm sure they have – there's something that they're going for with the design of this book, and I'm sure there's people that have read it that get it. I'm just not one of them. Now, that's not to say I'm just going to give up on this book entirely. I'm going to read the second issue and see how I feel after the second issue, but right now I'm just not feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Should we read the listener comments before we rate it, or do we want to rate it now?
We should read the listener comments and see if they agree with us.
Okay,
well, I think one of them is almost word for word what Stephen was saying.
One thing that I do have to say, and I want to say it before we get back to listener feedback, is to hold the book in your hands is impressive. It's easily the size of a Golden Age book.
Mm-hmm.
You open up the book, and it's 32 pages solid. No ads, no filler. It's just the story through and through. And everybody I know who has read that, that has been their most impressed thing about it. It's not the high slick paper, but it's a very high quality paper throughout the book. So you see that and you want it to succeed. And it's one of those things like what Stephen said, you want to give the second issue a shot. You want to go ahead and guess that it's probably you that didn't get this issue, and you hope really badly that you get the second issue. Because it's like you have these sketches in the back of the different characters, but whatever is written on them, it's really hard to read, and it just looks like design elements. It doesn't look like character cards or anything.
Yeah, I mean, you really get the feeling, you know, reading the book and reading the thing at the end from Ivan Brandon. Yeah, when he says, took a long time to bring this to life. You know, you can definitely feel the love that the creators put into this. This really feels like a labor of love. And because of that, I do want to give this a shot. And hopefully it will pay off for me. You know, hopefully in a couple months I'll be really singing the praises of this book. We'll just have to see. All right, so we have two comments on the thread in the forum about it. Both of them are from Kevin Kwas. And he comes in first and says, "My first read of Viking made me think the following. I'm just not a smart man. The storytelling had me lost quite a bit of time. I could not always tell the characters apart, and I'm not sure where the murder mystery comes in. It seems like the various Vikings like to kill each other and get revenge. The jumps in time lost me, and, well, I'm still confused. I will let it sit for a few days and go back and read it again and see if I feel any smarter." And so then he does come back a couple days later, today actually. It says, "Viking has been read again. I thought the characters talking to the king were the ones who showed up again at the end of the book, but that does not appear to be the case. I now get the main points of Viking, but way too many characters get introduced and I can't keep them separated to make complete sense of the story. The art is great, but I will look at the next issue at my LCS to see if I can understand more of the story before I continue with it." And I just have to say this to Kevin, because he says, "I now get the main points of Viking. Please explain them to me."
See, now, I think it is the same characters at the end getting jumped and getting the crap knocked out of them.
Because no, I think it's what he was saying was he thought the guys who went to talk to the king and when during that sequence are the same guys who come and kill the little kid.
Oh. And that's, wait, there were sequences?
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm sorry. This book just had me thoroughly confused.
Agreed.
I even read it twice.
I read it once, and it's fresh on my mind. Michael, what do you rate it out of 5?
I'm going to have to give it a 2 pending.
Craig?
It absolutely breaks my heart because I do think it's a bold statement to put out a book this size with this quality of material and to do it and essentially put both middle fingers, fly them high at DC and Marvel and Dynamite and all those other companies by releasing this for $3. Unfortunately, I just don't get it. And I want to. I desperately want to. This is not a case of, with Grant Morrison, I don't get it. Well, you just don't get it because you're stupid. Whatever. Go to hell, Grant Morrison. This is a case of, I don't get it. I need to read more. I'm really worried and I feel, I'm going to go ahead and predict that I feel what I feel for people who get this book, don't get it, and drop it is sorrow. Because I think eventually, if this can fulfill on its promise, they'll miss out on something truly excellent. But I have to agree with Michael. Absolutely. I have to give it a 2, pending what the book does in the future. I know that if my pull list was tighter than I'm able to make it, that unfortunately Viking might not make the cut, and that would be really sad. But the good news for Viking is that they sold out completely at their first printing a month before it ever went into the stores. So there are people out there who are excited about it. I just hope that half or more of them stay on for at least issue 2, issue 3, so on. But yeah, 2 out of 5 pending.
I also gave it a 2. So that gives us an average Just Another Fanboy rating of 2 out of 5 for the book.
Woo-hoo.
But I think, like the two of you and even Kevin, still going to give issue number 2 a try. So, all right, that was our group review of the week. Next week,
there were some
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, there were some reviews that I saw that were comparing it to Northlanders, and I think that's a really unfair comparison. Northlanders was written with more of a modern tone and a easily adaptable stories. Not to take anything away from Northlanders, but it felt like Viking, they were trying to do something more in the realm of Braveheart. They were trying to immerse you in a culture that was totally foreign to you, and, you know, if you can't keep up, swim faster.
Yeah, that's, you know, unfortunately for a book like this.
I think some of the issues with the art is what made... I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, unfortunately, you know, with a book like this, because there is another Viking book out there, people are going to compare them, kind of like when Mice Templar came out. Everybody wanted to compare it to Mouse Guard, and they're not the same book. You can't compare them just because they're, you know, just because these are both books about Vikings doesn't make them comparable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So next week for episode number 127, Craig, that's your pick. So why don't you tell us what you chose?
It is indeed. I chose The Literals, number one. It is part three of the Great Fables crossover, but The Literals 1 through 3 should be able to be read, according to everything I've seen on it, as a standalone story. The Great Fables crossover, if you don't know, is running through Fables, Jack of Fables, and The Literals as a nine-part story. It is an excellent jumping-on point for new readers to the Fables universe. It does have some deeper understanding for those people who are not new adapters, but I've read parts one and two of the crossover, and I'm really excited for The Literals, especially because they're going to be such a counterpoint to the Fables. You know, because the Fables are made up in their fairy tales, and The Literals are something quite different. So it should be great. And I think Vertigo too often, especially now that the comic market is in such a state of flux, gets forgotten for having great ongoing stories and engaging characters. And I want to try and get back to that and focus a little bit more on that because I always loved Vertigo. So, Literals number one.
Go out and get it. And then come to the boards or send an email or send a voicemail if you have a Skype account. And
Or smoke signal.
Smoke signal. I don't know how to read those, but I think Craig does.
We'll learn.
All right, so let's do some listener feedback. All right, listener feedback. We've got our first voicemail through our new Skype voicemail system, which we're still trying to work the bugs out on. Right now, the way it's set up is if you have a Skype account and can speak to somebody through Skype, you can leave us a voicemail, just by, you know, looking for my Skype account, which is just another fanboy. That's what I'm under on Skype. And you can leave a voicemail. And of course, we wouldn't have that. We wouldn't have voicemail at all if it wasn't for Kevin Kost. So thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Our first voicemail comes from Kevin Kwas. So let's go ahead and play that now.
Hi, Just Another Fanboy. This is Kevin calling in. The biggest thing I've been doing this week is I picked up some back issues. Read Atomica from Sal Abernathy. Really enjoyed that. Art was a little different, but enjoyed it in the end. It really fit the story once I got into it. Story was interesting, mythic and industrial at the same time, so it was a lot of fun. I will check in later. Have a great show.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. I haven't actually read Atomica myself. I hear about it all the friggin' time. If you ever listen to shows like Comic Geek Speak or Around Comics, or you spend any time on the Comic Geek Speak board, you'll probably hear about the book. but never actually read it. Not sure why.
It's been on my list of things to try, but I keep getting it confused with Atomic Robo. And I apologize to both creators for that. Atomic Robo I have read and enjoyed it quite a bit. Atomica, I'm still wanting to check out.
Atomica, yeah. That's the one about the Soviet Union?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of it.
It's not the Red Star, though. It's a different
story. Yeah, I know it's not Red Star. Red Star is gone.
Yes.
Yeah, but having read Atomic Robo and knowing what I know about Atomica, not really the same thing.
Right.
That's like comparing ElfQuest to Superman. Not really the same thing.
I can't really think of Atomic Robo right now.
Oh, it was free comic book day book last year, year before.
It's awesome. There's two trades out. It's really good.
Who published it?
I want to say Red 5.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. I know I did a pick of the week months and months and months ago.
I didn't exist months and months and months ago.
I'll try and remember to bring my FCBD copy in for you tomorrow.
You were on the episode that I did the pick because it was one of the first few episodes you were on. But yeah, it's a good stuff. Check it out if you get the chance. And hey, check out Atomica.
Oh wait! You told me about that. That's the one where he was like in World War II and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the robot that was created by Nikola Tesla.
Yeah, Atomic Robo is nowhere near as perverse or as adult in nature as I've said too much.
Okay. All right, so we've got some feedback on the forum.
Atomica.
Feedback for episode number 125, Wheel of Grapefruit. And the first bit of feedback we get is from Max Headroom, who says, just to correct the record, but a certain auntie, They Might Be Giants, a voice on the podcast, associated the wonderful group They Might Be Giants as being Canadian. Alas, they are not. They are from Massachusetts and became famous in a borough called Brooklyn. Still listening to the episode. Keep up the great podcast, gentlemen. Noogie99 then jumps in and says, I paused and you didn't jump in. I paused.
I tried to jump in.
Okay, I'm going to pause again. Ready? Here we go. Pause.
Okay.
Too late.
I would like to... Whatever. Aren't you going to read my reply on the board?
No. That's not feedback for the show.
Okay. But I have feedback for the feedback.
They can go to the board to read our feedback for the feedback.
They Might Be Giants still sucks.
No, they don't.
No.
Yes, they do.
No.
They remind me of every high school relationship I was ever in. Therefore, they suck. If I never hear the song, Put a Little Birdhouse in Your Soul again, it will be too soon.
I'm your only friend. I love that song. I'm your only friend, but I'm a little glowing friend.
Stop!
Yeah, I'm not actually your friend, but I am.
Stop!
I love that song. I also love the song about the also on that album, the song about death. I can't remember the name of the song now.
The grocery bag song?
Yeah.
I already admitted on the boards that I got them confused with Bare Naked Ladies, who Steven also likes.
I do like Bare Naked Ladies.
I like them too.
I hate them as well.
That's all right. But they do sound like a Canadian band. They're not a Canadian band.
Ha-ha! There we go. Like... There we go. I am exonerated. I am free!
If you say so.
Butter Culver still rocks and makes the best Butterburgers anywhere.
Yes. Not a Canadian band, though.
No.
Culver's? No, they're Wisconsin fast food. No, short order food, in fact.
Which is almost Canada.
I like any band that I can enjoy and play in the van when my kids are in the van and... They can listen to it and enjoy it as well.
Do you have the Ninja song by Bare Naked Ladies?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'll have to look for it.
So you like Dragon Force then, right?
I don't know what Dragon Force is.
They're super, super fast speed metal. They don't sing about anything bad, though. No, speed metal, not death metal.
I can't sugar that quickly.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So Noogie99 comes in and says, another great episode, fellers. I give it a pie out of four.
Yay! I started a new running gag.
I like pie.
Josh from the Pomcast has two comments. I'm more into Dragonsteed than Dragon Mount.
Dragon Falls!
And then he says, Rick Astley's spit takes are nice. Michael, why do you now mute your mic and deprive us of your creepy heavy breathing, huh? Why?
Because we asked him to.
I was getting bad emails from people. So I had to stop.
Yeah, okay, I'll stop emailing you.
Why does he still call himself Josh from the Pomcast? There is no Pomcast anymore.
Well, he can't really change his name. He's already registered under Josh from the Pomcast.
Oh, okay.
He could change his board alias.
He's still technically Josh from the Pomcast, even though the Pomcast is no longer around.
He could be Josh from Just Another Fanboy, even though, you know, he's not actually.
Yeah.
He's our unofficial fifth member.
That's right.
Right behind the cat?
No, the Nuge.
Karen.
Oh, yeah.
No, Karen.
Oh, sorry. You're right.
All right, so Kevin,
I'm the fourth one. Then Craig is fifth, and then Josh would be sixth, actually.
Okay, I'm totally confused. You guys start bringing up math, and I'm just lost.
I like pie.
I do too.
So Kevin Quas comes in and he says, "I'm a firm believer that Rick Astley can make most anything better. He brightens up my day when I'm feeling sad. The Marvel Noir books are a concept that does not make me quite as happy. I glanced through them at the store, and the $3.99 price and lack of a strong hook combo kept me on the sideline. I did read the initial Dark Tower mini, and the story was good, but something about the J. Lee art still creeps me out. It is probably because I still have flashbacks to the Chuck Austin J. Lee arc on Captain America, around number 13 of the fourth series. I still have nightmares about that. I had dropped Captain America and then went back to pick up the issues I missed when Robert Kirkman took over in the late 20s. I should have left them in my collection and never read them. Why? Why? Had no idea that Robert Kirkman did Captain America. No clue.
Didn't you?
No clue.
It was very brief.
Hey, and that's like our feedback.
That was like right after.
I would like to say for the record that Rick Astley would be, "Make a little birdhouse in your soul." Unlike the They Might Be Giants people.
It would be less entertaining to listen to as well.
I returned a bag of groceries accidentally taken off the shelf before their expiration date.
I returned as a bag of groceries.
I came back as a bag of groceries accidentally taken off the shelf before the date stepped on my sack.
This was a sad day.
There's just one line in that song, and I'm trying to remember it, that I just love. It's, jeez. That's going to drive me crazy. Forget it. Be here forever while I'm thinking of that. I just really enjoy that song. Okay. Yeah, that's our listener feedback.
Thank you, listeners.
So I guess we should just wrap up the old show. So thank you for listening to episode number 126 of Just Another Fanboy. If you would like to provide feedback to the show, there are a number of ways you can do that. You can send us an email at justanotherfanboy@gmail.com. You can leave an iTunes
review.
Send us
a Twitter.
Send us a Tweeter, 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 Tweeter. You can leave us an iTunes review. We've had two iTunes reviews recently, one from Craig, the Lawrence Freakon guy, and I'm trying to remember who left the second one. I want to say it was New Mutant, but it may not have been, but I think it was.
Dude, why didn't you read those?
Because I don't think about it, and if I was to try to get onto iTunes right now, it would probably blow up the entire show.
I know that if I were to do that, we would in fact have to, like, reboot the entire system. So
I can do it.
I'll try it. I'll try it right now.
Well, dude, I sent you a reminder before you left work. I said, hey, don't forget to go on iTunes. Okay, this is part of the Craig's Machine Adventures with Apple and iTunes. I already feel sticky and gross.
So while iTunes is loading...
It's already loaded. What do I do now?
You have
store?
To go to the store.
Okay.
And go to podcasts.
You could also just search for Just Another Fanboy.
Why don't I just search for Just Another Fanboy?
Why don't you do that?
God, this feels so dirty. What the hell happened? Yeah. Okay, let me try that again. Stupid Apple.
I'm going to find it first.
No shortcut found. Steven, get on there and make a shortcut.
I'm going to find it first. I'm about 3 seconds from getting to it. This is probably the most boring
podcast. Who the hell is Martin Kerr?
I don't know. Who is Martin Kerr?
Are we under downloads or what? Because I'm in the store and it's trying to sell me an iPod.
Are you on the website?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I open up my iTunes. I don't go to the website.
What is your iTunes?
It's a application downloaded onto my computer.
Once again, don't have an iPod.
Yeah, so you would really have no reason to have iTunes. So, yes, the last two reviews. First one is from Craig from the Lawrence Freecon. Says, Stephen, Michael, and Craig are three of the finest personalities in the comics podcasting realm. Each with his own personality and style of humor, these guys lay out the world of comics and pop culture on a weekly basis, not to be missed. The most recent one comes from New Mutant, who says, the boys are on fire in episode number 124. Their timing, eccentric humor, and comic book content makes for a serious treat for anyone who knows that they are not just another fanboy.
Thank you both.
Hooray! Now, how hard was that?
That is a total of 24 reviews over on the old iTunes.
We need more iTunes reviews, people.
You know, back before I was on the show, I was going to leave one, and then like the very next week, I was on the show, and I thought that it would be bad if I left a review at that point.
You should have created a fake user named Rodrigo. That's what I intend to do. Oh, wait. No, I don't. Pay no attention to the man behind the mask.
I don't think you have to worry about getting the swine flu at your house.
No, not that mask. I've been playing with a piece of cardboard, and I'm trying to figure out how to make a Shredder mask. Because I want to go see Wolverine as the Shredder.
All right,
I have no idea why.
So, there are other ways you can leave feedback.
You can leave us feedback by giving us $20 bills.
Yay!
$20 bills, yo!
You can leave.
You don't want to see what Steven will do for $20.
You can leave feedback to the individual episode posts on both the blog at justanotherfanboy.blogspot.com and the main website itself at justanotherfanboy.com. You can also leave a voicemail. Currently, the only way you can do that is to have a Skype account, unfortunately.
There is one other way.
How's that?
It's amazingly simple. I'm surprised I didn't think of it before. You can simply use Sound Recorder on any Windows-enabled PC, record an audio file, zip it to Steven. justanotherfanboy@gmail.com.
Oh, good idea.
Instant voicemail for free.
Yay.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Hooray. Fish and chips. Cheerio. Pop, pop.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find that at comicspodcasts.com. We're also proud members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts. Find that at leagueofcomicbookpodcasts.blogspot.com. We are also a Lynx Broadcasting production. Lynx like the cat. Meow.
Meow.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So that's the episode. Come follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/JAFanboy.
Tweet. So, guys, since we're now on Twitter, are we going to do the whole MySpace thing too?
I've been toying with setting up a Facebook page. MySpace is not something that I'm as familiar with. But there are already many, many creators who do such things.
Well, this is true. That's why it's a good idea.
Yes.
Just because a lot of people have done it doesn't mean that it's a bad idea. Much like singing Peanut Butter Jelly song would not be a bad idea.
Peanut Butter Jelly.
The jelly song. Peanut Butter. Oh, now you stop?
Well, you know, I didn't want to. I didn't want to step completely.
Peanut Butter Jelly time. All right. Let's just wrap this show up before we just. I don't know.
I need to start eating more sugar before we record. That way the crash happens sooner.
Yeah, you do. Wait, no.
So until next time, I'm Steven, and I'm just another fanboy.
Hey, I'm Michael. Take it easy.
And I have something totally different to add, which will disrupt the entire flow of saying goodbye. Since this is our last chance to remind you before it actually happens, I want you all to look at Google, type in Free Comic Book Day, and remember exactly what this Saturday is going to be. And remember, since Diamond is evil, and since FreeComicBookDay.com is evil, always be sure to check directly with your local comic book store to see if they will be participating. Due to ordering levels, some of them will not be listed. But I expect everyone within the sound of my voice, including you, Steven, to go to Free Comic Book Day.
All right, then. See you next time, folks.
Later.
Bye. Shamalama ding dong.
Ding ding.